Get ready? The Kliyakar Tzitz. The Kliyakar Tzitz. What's the Kliyakar Tzitz? So as everyone knows, Mishkanophobia extends to the sixth parsha. So anytime you try to give a drasha about Truma Tisava, everyone right away tunes out. So we're going to do our best.
Yeah, all right.
I did think it was very interesting. For example, you take a look at Mayan Beis HaShaweva, that's a Schwab Sefer. There's one page, and it's not even full, on Parshas Tetzaveh.
Oh, really?
On Tetzaveh. It is one vort. One vort. Why is that? So first of all, it's connected often to Truma. Tetzaveh is really almost entirely Big Day Kahuna, except for the Mizbeach HaZov for Ketores at the end, which is what a lot of people talk about. And also, it's almost always Shabbos Zachor. So there's
more interesting things to talk about that no one has a phobia about, you know, when you're talking about wiping out a Moloch.
So it is what it is. Made it a little bit more challenging to prepare for a shir, but for Nasan Moshi, you know, we do what we can. So here we go. This is the first piece that you have over here. What are we going to do this week? What are we going to do tonight? What we're going to do tonight is, ultimately, we're going to look at the way the Kli Yakar understands a very interesting message of the tzitz. That's where we're headed. So, as an introduction, the Kli Yakar says like this. These are the begadim that I want you to
dress the coin up.
Yeah, asu.
To make, huh?
And I'm just going to skim this one very, very quickly because it's not what I want to focus on, but I just want to show you something that's interesting to me. Today in Shir, I got the marker and I went up to the board and I asked the guys to tell me the order of the begadim, the way they're presented. Because if you remember from last week, so we know that when it comes to the kalim in the Mishkan, the Aron is instructed first, but when it came time to build it, so they built the structure first and the kalim came only later. So I was curious, is there anything about begadim? And sure enough, we put it on the board and we noticed two very interesting things. The first one is what the Kli Yakar points out over here, is that the order is reversed, because first it says, Kan hizgir hachoshen koidem le'efoy, in the very beginning of the parsha, in the pasuk that says, this is what I want you to make, the choshen comes before the efoy, but then later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu presents them one by one, in the Torah, Hashem presents them one by one, so it's reversed, the efoy comes first. So the Kli Yakar says, like, what's up with that? Why would you change the order? And without focusing on everything he says, just take a look. And this first little, the second paragraph over here, he says, "Ha'amnam nira karev l'shmoya." What it seems, you know, pretty close on mita on target. Lefish amru chazal b'maseches erchin tes zayinim aleph. Lamin isvuka karbanos lebig day kahuna. Why are the karbanos juxtaposed to big day kahuna? It doesn't sound like the biggest question in the world. What do you mean? Why are karbanos juxtaposed? You know, he's talking about karbanos, and you're talking on the big day kahuna, but it doesn't seem like the presentation of the psukim are, here are the kalim, here's the building, here are the begadim. There's also other things interjected in between, including karbanos. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Why are your karbanos stuck in here? Why are they connected like that? Loimar lecha. It teaches you something, says the Gemara already. Ma karbanos mechaprin after big kahuna mechaprin, that there's a kapara in the big day kahuna.
Wow.
Right, so everyone I think has heard this before, that each one atones for some particular issue or something like that. But that's how the Gemara learns it out, is that there's a kapara, and the Gemara lists them. Choshen mechapar al adinim. It's called the choshen amishpat, right? It's called the choshen of judgment, of justice or something like that. So that atones for some failure in judgment. Eifod mechapar al avodah zarah. Me'il, right? The me'il is the long blue tunic. Mechaper al lashon hara. Right, we'll come back to that. Ksoines, the basic tunic that every kohen would wear. Mechaper al shfichus damim, which we're not going into tonight, but the Kli Yakar has a piece on that also. Like, what's pshat in that?
He's saying being adam lachavero versus being adam lamachim, to be an adam lamachim portion of it?
Interesting, interesting. But stam, why should what does one thing do with the other?
The Italian, the plus he mentions the armor. Is that Italian?
I don't know. I mean, he has a few different options. Maybe he's related to Yosef and the brothers and Kisonas, you know. But whatever it is, mitznefes, the hat of the kohen, the kohen gadol, mechaper al gasus haruach, atones for arrogance, gaiva. That does make sense. Yaramalka, yamalka, like that makes a lot of sense. Avne, the belt, mechaper al hirhur halev, thoughts in the heart. So you'll say, oh, maybe that's like the erva thing. They're separating. Tzitz. Mechaber al azus meitzach, atones for brazenness. You know, there's like a certain sense that you know, the person's forehead somehow represents this. It's like an imagery. You know, get your stick. Don't put your head where it doesn't belong. Your nose doesn't belong. There's the forehead, like the brazenness of the head or something like that, like a chutzpah. Mechnasayim, the boxer shorts, the underpants, the pants. Mechavar al gili arayis. Atones for gili arayis. And all are not from Sukkim. According to this, you can explain. Blah, 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 blah. And he goes on to explain things. So all I want to point out to you is that the Gemara has this idea. And I think, you know, on our own, we would have said, it's a drasha. It's a drasha of the Gemara. But the Kli Yakar and many Mefarshim take it so seriously that they want to explain elements of Pshat based on this. So it's already...
The Gemara is explaining Sukkim according to drasha.
All the time, what do you mean? All the time. So anyway, that's just interesting as our Hakdama to today, that the Mefarshim take this very seriously. That in terms of understanding Psukim, if you see what they atone for, you can get a sense of what the Kli, what the Beged represents and what it's all about. Do we need to shake it and stir it a little more?
We may have a situation.
A situation, yes. Oh no. We'll let you figure out the situation.
You just with the tequila.
Just opened it?
No. Sorry.
Okay. Oh boy.
It's
mom's fermented already.
Yeah. It was, yeah. Right. It's some of it. It's there's bubbles in it.
Interesting. Okay.
It's Moscato.
Right, that's what I was thinking. The Malvasia. Okay, so here we go. Let's take a look at the Psukim over here. The second thing that we noticed in Shir when we wrote the Begadim on the board is that there's something missing. In fact, two things missing. Take a look. It says in the very beginning of the parashah, "Atet hakrev elecha." It's not right in the beginning. It's a little bit later. Perchav Ches. It says, "V'atet hakrev elecha es aron achicha." This bana vitam minuch bnei Yisrael lecha anoili. You're going to make Aaron into the kohen. Aaron, Nadav, Aviu, Elazar, Yisamar, Bnei Aaron. And then it says, V'asisa, Big Day Kodesh, the Aaron Echicha, the Chavoid El Sifares. So you're making a Big Day Kahuna, you're supposed to be for honor and for some kind of Tiferes, some kind of splendor, something like that. Splendor. V'ata Titaber Kolchach Melev, speak to the people that know what they're doing. Asher Melesev Ruach Chachma, that they have a spirit of wisdom in them to do these types of things. V'asu, as a Big Day Aaron, Lekadashay, Lechanuli, and they shall make the clothing of Aaron to sanctify him, right? There's a kiddusha mentioned here, not just begadim. Still trying to figure out if it's worth it to sanctify him as a kohen to me. Ve'ele ha'begadim asher ya'asu. These are the ones I want you to make. Now pay attention. You ready? You're gonna need your fingers here. Yeah. What do we have? Choshen ve'efod u'me'il u'kisones tashbeitz mitznefes and avnate. Did I get this right? Choshen, Ephod, Me'il, Kisones, Mitznefes, Avnate.
Missing one.
That's only six. I thought the Kohen Gadol had eight begadim. We're missing two.
Aaron made them themselves.
Asu Big Day Kodesh, Aaron Achicha, Levanav, Lechanali. What happened over here? So the Kli Yakar points this out right away, the next source on the sheet. Choshen, Ephod, Me'il, V'goymer, Lo Yizkir Tzitzu Mechnasayim. His underpants and the tzitz are missing from this film. What's going on over here?
Well, if you're missing the mechnasayim, then you don't have to worry about being haughty.
Well, but your legs are covered, so maybe... This is like the beginning, early days of Zoom, you know what I'm saying? It's are you wearing pants under there?
The ultimate nightmare, right?
Walking into work without your mechnasayim. So...
He's not walking to the Eichal.
It brings you down a notch, so you don't have to worry.
So there's no Azus Meitzach if you're not wearing the pants. So he says like this, Lefisha Einan Bechlal Levush. These two, of all of them, aren't really clothing.
A choshen is considered clothing?
Well, that's what he's suggesting, that's considered a beged. It's actually interesting, I don't want to get involved in this because it takes us like to a whole other year.
You also have the...
The Tzvei Dinim, the Ephod, has the stones on the shoulder. But the ephod was, you know, really did cover a significant part of his body. And the choshen was there, which connected the ephod, you know, connected it from top to bottom. And the choshen does have tzvei dinim. It has two halachas to it. It has a halacha of a beged, and it also has a halacha of choshen mishpat. So it really does have two things going on over there. But one of them is for sure a Begen. There was a famous Rashi that we spoke about in the past also, that the Urim V'Tumim wasn't there in Bayesheni, but the Choshen, of course, was. So you see, there are two things going on. But we're going to have to leave that out, because otherwise it's going to give you a whole year. So,
yeah.
You can't count jewelry
as a
Begen
or
not?
It's part of the
Choshen.
Well, the tzitz, I guess you could sort of describe in that way. It's more of like a piece of jewelry.
We had Gemara, right? The crown for his wife.
Was a crown, right? Yeah, you're right. But what does that have to do with that? Why does that matter?
Same concept as the tzitz in sense of a piece of jewelry?
Perhaps, but you'll see where he's going over here. You'll see where he's going. He says, so they're not considered begadim. So what does he mean by that, just on a basic level, that you don't really need the mechasayim, right? The mechasayim are there for some additional purpose because he is covered. He's got this whole robe on, it goes all the way down. Like, he doesn't really need it. It's there to cover besar erva, but it's not really, strictly speaking, necessary. And the tzitz isn't a hat, it's like Eli was sort of described, it's like almost like a piece of jewelry. So it's not there as a regular piece of clothing. Yeah, well, but it doesn't keep his hair back, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's almost like not even a headband. At least a girl wears a headband to keep her hair out of her eyes or something like that. Here, it's mama's like, what is it?
In other words, tefillin, it's not considered a beged.
Yeah, interesting shayla by tefillin. Can you consider them a beged? Can you not consider them a beged? But it has nafka means for a woman. Is it begedish? Is it not begedish for a woman? To Rashi's daughters, you know, all these kinds of things. So interesting sugyas. Okay, but in any case, that's what he writes, that they're left out because they're not really, strictly speaking, begadim. I underlined it for you. I should have done it in like different colors or boxes or something like that, but whatever, you know. You'll notice that in the psukim that are here, the word v'asisa, v'asu, and ya'asu, you see how that appears three times? You see what I'm saying? The pasuk right on top of it.
Yeah.
Here it says v'asisa, v'asu, and v'asu. It has it three times, v'asu. So in the second line, it says Ve'isamar b'nei Aharon. Then there's the colon. V'asisa. What?
There's an additional one on the last line. B'avnei b'asu
b'beikodesh. Yeah. So maybe that's a summary. He doesn't include that. So he says that when it comes to all of these, he says you'll notice that of these three, only two of them have the word kodesh afterwards. V'asisa b'gdei kodesh la'aron achicha. V'asu es b'gdei aron l'kadoshoy. But no mention of Kiddusha. So he wants to say that the two things that are left out are hinted to by Kiddusha.
Okay, where's the hint?
The hint is the word Kiddusha. Both of them have the mention of something Kaddish attached to them, but the third one not. What do they have to do with Kiddusha? So he says like this.
One second, the other ones don't have Kiddusha?
These two begadim, he says, basically are included here because it says v'asu is a begadim, but there's something else called the kodesh beged. So the word kodesh or l'kadosho, that's a hint to another beged that's supposed to be there because there are two words kodesh. There are two other begadim that are there that are hinted to by the word kodesh.
But that doesn't fit into the words of the pasuk, right? V'asu is bigdei aron.
This is definitely not like the Pashup shot, but he's saying that there is a hint at it because they represent an element of Kiddush.
Is he saying the word is superfluous and therefore because it doesn't say Kodesh, it doesn't say use the word Kodesh by Yasu?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. He says the first pasuk says Vasisa Bigde Kodesh, La'aron Achicha. He could have said Vasisa Begadim. It's a big day kodesh. Are all of them big day kodesh? Well, I don't know, because the last pasuk says these are the ones that Asher Ya'asu. It doesn't mention that they're big day kodesh. Now, of course, it does. You're pointing out at the end of that pasuk. It does sort of like sound like it's including all of them in big day kodesh. So it's going to take a little work to work this out in a very strict way.
Every time you say what, I always want to say kodesh. I don't know why. It's in my head.
Yeah.
The first time it says Big Day Kodesh, I hear what he's trying to say.
Okay.
Right, because the other times it says...
Yes, it's Big Day Aaron, L'Kadoshoy.
Right, but L'Kadoshoy has nothing to do with Big Day Kodesh. L'Kadoshoy is...
That's their impact. But it's not describing
first,
a Beged.
The first one is talking about the Beged itself.
Right,
the
right.
Second one is what the Beged does to the person.
Right.
Right, so if that's the case, then it doesn't flow in that sense.
So, you know, another way perhaps to read it is that the Eila Begadim Asher Ya'asu, That's the list of begadim that you're making. There are two others that you're making that are only being made out of kedusha.
So if you told me that you underlined the second ba'asu bigdei kodesh, and the first the second one that you have underlined here is ba'asu is bigdei aron kacho, and that's the same begadim as the next one.
That's a nice way to look at it. Well, yeah, look at it like this. Then it says, according to the Kli Yakar anyway, when it says the first MS, he said bigdei kodesh, so that refers to something that's called kodesh. How many of those are there? There are two. That's the second one, which is bigar and lekadesh. No, so in the last pasuk, when it says ele bigarim shayasu, and it lists them, and then it says asu bigdei kodesh, those are the two that were mentioned before, that were referenced before. Okay.
Right, because that would fit into the
very good. Anyway, I don't know exactly how he's looking at it, but that's the idea that he says. So he says, why are these two things considered to be kodesh? So I'll just summarize it for you. And he says, what's the point of the mechnasayim? So the pasuk says explicitly that they're to cover besar erva, and the mechnasayim are mechaper for gili arayas. So when do we find kedusha? Gili arayas is where Rashi famously says on the pasuk that when you have all of the arayas listed in the Torah, that's right before what parsha? Kedushim to you. So you always find kedusha juxtaposed with arayas. So if you want to, so that's how Rashi always learns. That's based on Chazal. So that's what he says. So kedusha is related to arayas. So mechnasayim, you see it very clearly. It's there to cover the erva, and it's mechaper for gili arayas. And what about the tzitz? Well, dude, what does it say on the tzitz? Kodesh Hashem. In addition to that, he says, what is that mechaper for? Azus meitzach. This brings like a chutzpah, right? So he says that that has to do with arayas as well. Where do you see that? So he says, if you keep looking a little bit farther on, so he says, "Vatzitz mechaper azus meitzach." Who, however, begilui? That's talking about. So he says that there are two types of gili arayas that a person chas v'shalom could be involved in. I guess the typical one is one that's done privately.
What is azus meitzach?
So hold on a second. Hold on before we get further. Let's just finish what he says. That there are two types of gili arayas. Typical one is done b'seiser. So the mechnasayim are b'seiser. Nobody sees them. So that atones for gili arayas that are done b'seiser. What about gili arayas that are done brazenly? That a person that just doesn't care anymore and they're doing things out in the open, people know about, b'far hesya, that's the tzitz. He says, because you have this idea, Yirmiyah, the pasuk says, Yirmiyah was criticizing Klal Yisrael of being so chutzpahdik. He says, u'meitzach isha zayna hayalicha. That you had the brazenness of an isha zayna, because she's out in the street, out in the open, presents herself for zanus, and like it doesn't make it, there's the chutzpah. She doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Call a person in Russia.
So that's what he says. L'chach k'siv al tzitz kodesh l'Hashem. That's also kedusha, and it atones for the azus meitach, which includes, I don't know if he means specifically, but at least includes the gili arayis that's done, you know, with b'far hesia with azus meitach.
Azus meitach is not a sin in itself; it's an attitude while one sin. No.
Yeah, but this is one of the things that can lead to perhaps, you know, even in an extreme or more often than not. Or,
does it make the avera, quote unquote, worse? Or once you're over,
because it's out in the open.
You yotzi the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah, right? We're saying there's different levels based on one's intention of schar. Is the same thing worth by avera?
When a person does an avera and he does it less b'shogeg and more b'mezid, so it's a worse avera.
Are there different levels of mezid?
And in mezid, there could probably be different levels. Like maybe. I mean, I know. There's in mezid, you have a mumar lahaches, mumar l'tayavon. L'tayavon is also a mezid, but it's motivated by yetzer hara. He has a taiva. It's not a shogeg. So yeah, so you have that. So if you look at the pasuk again, he says you'll notice that in the two ways that he says it's mentioned, the vasisa big day kodesh le aharon achicha, the big day kodesh come before his name, come before Aaron, and the second pasuk that mentions in Shkudish says vasis big day Aaron le kadoshoy. So the things that are normal that everybody wears, so that's what it says vasus big day kodesh le aharon achicha. That's the mechnasayim. Mechnasayim are referred to as the, you know, that's what he's going to wear. It has an element of kedusha to it, but those are big day kodesh for Aaron. But then there's something else, which is vasus big day Aaron le kadoshoy. Then there's something which you have to create a kedusha out of because it's not like a beged that he would normally wear. That's the tzitz. He says that would work out if that's what the rem is doing. Okay, but that's our background. He says that that's what's going on by the tzitz and the mechnasayim, is that they're there to be mechaper for gili arayis. even though the tzitz, it says it's azus meitzach. He says, yeah, because there are two types of gili arayis in that sense. There's one that's brazenness on the outside. Okay. Next. There is a Rashi that I'm just going to mention outside. It's in the source sheet if you want to look at it, but I'm just going to say it outside because it's very technical. But that's kind of the point. Especially in these parshios, a lot of the messages that are so important and so interesting come out of a lot of technical details, because that's what it is. It's the Kalim of the Mishkan, it's the Begadim, you know what I'm saying? So it's tech. But nonetheless, if you have the patience to work it out, you can notice really interesting things. So very quickly, the Pasuk, I underlined the elements for you, it says that when you make the tzitz, there's almost like a contradiction in the way you put it on, or it's placed or made. On the one hand, it's supposed to be on the psil techeles. So on the psil techeles means the psil techeles is like behind it. It's on the psil techeles. Then it says, no, it's on the mitznefes. It's on the hat. Wait a minute, I thought you just said it was on the psil techeles. No, it's on Meitzach Aaron. It's on his forehead. So Rashi right away says, come on, Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, what's going on over here? Where, how's it supposed to work? So Rashi describes in the next paragraph, in the sheet of it, Rashi describes, no, because the way that tzitz was made is that it had three hole punches in it. So there's one on this side, one on this side, and one that's on the top. So the mitznefes, the hat of the Kohen Gadol, was on the Kohen Gadol's head. The tzitz was on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. But the techeles went inside here, so it was on the outside on one on the front, and the inside behind the loop, right? You can picture that, right? So it goes out, and then behind the tzitz now. And the same thing on the top, that the thread is on the outside, but also goes behind it. And so one of them goes on the mitznefes, on the hat, and the other one was tied behind his head.
Above,
on top. That's what it means, on the mitznefes.
Top one, not the
top, not the side one, the one on top. And there was a space in between. The Chazal said he could even put on tefillin, which is the whole interesting shayla. Was he supposed to wear tefillin? So he could wear tefillin. He wasn't supposed to wear tefillin. Anyway, yeah, there was space in between. But that's how Rashi works all of this out. It's a very technical point. But we're going to see what the Kli Yakar does with this, is he says, ah, so all of these three things are connected. That's the point. So what I wanted to just mention is that you take a look at the Mikros Gedolos, yeah? Everybody has a Mikros Gedolos. You got one for your bar mitzvah, right? You got Mikros Gedolos probably for maybe two or three sets. So you get this chumash. It's called a Mikros Gedolos.
It's the big chumash.
So it's got all these mifarshim.
Translation.
It's got Rashi, and it's got the Ramban, it's got the Ibn Ezra. So, like, which mifarshim are in there? Which didn't make it? You know what I mean? How many mifarshim there are? So it's very interesting. The Kli Yakar is one of the mifarshim that made it into, like, all the versions of the Mikros Gedolos. The Kli Yakar is not like Rashi. He's not like the Ramban. He's not like the Ibn Ezra. They all want to understand the Pshat.
Kli Yakar is a
Rishon? Probably not. He was nifter in the early 1600s, I think.
Who decided?
The printers. It's a zechus. It's pasha de zechus. It's just a zechus. Or Chaim HaKadosh is a zechus.
There's different types of
Mikros. Yeah, but the Kli Yakar is, I think, in all of them.
There's one that's Osher Pirush Rashi. It's 11 different Pirush from Rashi.
Yeah, but that's not in a classic Mikros. You'll find it in modern ones.
Forno, Chaim, Yakar, Rashi.
So the Kli Yakar, what he does, so if you're ever looking up a Kli Yakar, you'll know what the Kli Yakar does. Rashi, the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra, they all want to understand, hey, what does that word mean? You know, where else do you find that can understand what the words mean? And then every single one, that's like not clear. That's how they start. They want to know the Pshat. Now they may go beyond that, they may say other things as well, but they're all interested in just what is the Pshat in Chumash. The Kli Yakar is always taking things a step further. He always wants to know, like, what's that all about? So he was going to take, he doesn't start with this Rashi, but you're going to see he ends with this Rashi. So he takes this Rashi, so to speak, and says, what do these three things have to do with each other? Like, why are they connected? What's this all about? So now you know our next
one.
Yeah, kind of. That's the same style. It's like he's like almost like a darshan, you know? But he makes things so interesting because of that. So he says like this, Vasisa tzitz zahav tohor. According to Chazal, Gemara in Erechinish, Amra tzitz mechaper azuz meitzach. Right? That's the Gemara we started with, that the tzitz is the tones for this chutzpah. Zerach lisyashiv adabr. There's a little bit of a problem here, because the pasuk itself says that it'll be on Aaron's forehead, and he's going to carry the sin of the kadashim, Shiakdishu b'nei Yisrael. He's going to atone for karbonos. So his question is, why would the medrash of Chazal contradict the pasuk? Pasuk says it atones for messing up in karbanos, and all of a sudden you're going to say it atones for like what? Why did Chazal change what it says in the pasuk? What's going on with that? That's his question. What we said before, that the tzitz...
It's supposed to atone for the Kohen Gadol's Azmetzach component, or Klal Yisrael?
I think Klal Yisrael.
A simple tzitz atone for everyone's Azmetzach. What does that mean?
So, we're going to get into that now. Like, what exactly is the pshat? So,
Kamara understands. It's Meshuggi, whatever, stuff happens.
The whole thing is hard to understand, because he wears something and atones for Klal Yisrael. Apparently, the begotten somehow, right? But in the symbolism of which the Kliyakar is going to get into, we can draw messages out, which is even more powerful. But in Achanami, it sounds like in the Pashut Pshat, the fact that he does
the Avodah Gadol is somebody such a pious position. By him putting on extra, it shows that whatever.
Right? Yeah, you have to say something, right? Anyways, he says like this. So he says that.
Alan doesn't believe it.
According to what we said. That it's not stam azus meitzah, it's not stam chutzpah. It's bedafka, this sort of like a gilui arayus b'farhesia. It's like the meitzah isha zayna. When you find a geder erva, whenever you find something that goes against that type of behavior, you'll also find kedusha from a person that refrains from it and stops himself from it. V'aznus mechalal hakedusha, and the opposite is of course true, that znus is a chilul of kedusha. We'll skip what he says in the parentheses here. Lefi zeh, so we can say a drasha and say the following. So underline this. Just like the tzitz, according to the pshat in the pasuk, it atones for problems in kadshim, shenitmeu that became tamei. So it's like kadshim, right? Sometimes people mix this up. There's kadshim, which is talking about karbanas, and kedusha. So he says, he's saying, they do overlap. They do go together. Just like it atones for the problem in the Kadshim, it also atones for problems in the Kiddusha, in the Kiddusha Sa'adam. Yalkein haya kasuv alav. That's why it says on it, Kodesh lahashem. B'tarvayu isnehu bay. Both of them, both ideas are present in the tzitz. Ki atzitz atzim al-chabro tumas ha-kadash. And of course, after the Pasuk says it atones for tumah in Kadshim, but why did it have to go specifically on his forehead? If all it does is atone for karbanos, then why is it on his forehead? That's a second idea. There's another type of kedusha that it atones for, and that's the kedusha that has to do with the meitzach, which is the meitzach isha zayna, that type of chutzpah.
That's a pshat that has been put together many times over, right? That the kedusha and kedusha go together in something. Both are separated for a higher purpose.
Or for a yeah, so the word he means, right? Kedesha, right?
That's
my thing. Right. Listen to this. Now he's going to put all the components together. That's why the Pasuk says it's supposed to be on the Psil Techeles. What do you mean on the Psil Techeles? Because they're connected. They're related. The what the tzitz accomplishes is on top, so to speak, metaphorically, of the Psil Techeles. What do you mean? Doime le Psil Techeles. It's similar. Shel tzitzis. Just like what its role is in the tzitzis. Shenemar, b'lis asuru, achari levavchem, achari einechem. Right? That's what the chelis is about. Chelis is about not touring after your heart and your eyes, which is exactly atem zoinim achareihem, that there's a znus to follow them. Harishi hu matzol min aznus. It saves a person from znus by looking at the psil techeles. Remember the famous story that Gemara has that this fellow that used to visit us, they slapped him in the face. Yeah? Okay. Good. So here Elihi says, and even though Pashup Shad in Chazal is then talking about chutzpah in general, Mikol Mokim, Yeshboy Gam Kain Chilul Kedusha. There's a chilul of Kedusha when it comes to chutzpah. Kikol Azus Panim, anyone who's brazen and has no bashfulness, right? Bashfulness is always in these types of areas, right? He's not bashful to do things that other people consider to be inappropriate. Mistamain Hirasa bi Kedusha, you're talking about a person that probably has a certain pagam in his neshama, because of the way that he was conceived and things like that. Chazal have this idea that it's sort of like given to a person. It could be his fault. He can make it worse. He could also do tshuva for it. But it was instilled within this person because of some sort of problem, and even when he was born. So then he says, so this hopefully will help us understand what it means to us. So now with you, if you take this approach, there are three elements here that can be matzil us from znus. Then the first one is the tzitz itself, kadosh lahashem. I want to expand on this, but I'm just reading what he writes first. Hasheni hu apsil techeles. The second one is apsil techeles, like we find by tzitzis. Vagimah, the third one, Huamitz Nefes, and Machabra Gasus Haruah. Ayamaka, right? Realizing that there's someone above. And he quotes other things also. So then he says, L'chach Nemar Batzitz V'samtos Al P'sil Techeles V'ya Al Amitz Nefes. That's why it's in this language. That's this. That, and then he goes into the Rashi. That's how you understand Rashi. Now, all these things are connected because it's all the same idea. It's a package deal. And with these three things, you can avoid znus. Now, I wanna focus.
Which three things? That's
yeah, we're gonna go through it right now. Oh. So I wanna focus on them and draw out what it means to me. Number one, there's the tzitz itself. There's the psil techeles, and then there's the mitznefes. What are the three elements that he's trying to say? So I would like to argue the following. The difference between the three is that the tzitz is reminding him. It's a label. It's a, hello, my name is Kadosh LaHashem. Yeah? It's like reminding him that what he is Kadosh LaHashem. That's A. B is a psil techeles. The psil techeles is leisa suachari einechem. It means that it's there to remind you of how to look at the world right. Not self-identity. It's how to look at the world. And the last thing is to wear a hat, so to avoid arrogance and to have that type of anivus, that type of humility. So what are all these things about? So number one, the idea of Kadosh LaHashem is that it's so critical, and in our generation, I've spoken about this before, that, you know, I was telling my guys today, you get into the elevator. So when the Rebbe gets into the elevator, Rav, you know, Rosh Yeshiva, someone that's a person, a gavra in the yeshiva, in the institution. So he knows that if he says hello to other people in the elevator, it's going to make a difference in their day. Oh, wow, you know, the person recognized me, you know. But everyone else that's not a Rebbe, they think, like, well, what's the difference what I say to this person, you know. But it's not true. It's just like a Yetzer Hara that we have, or it's because we're from New York. One of my sons, you know, he came home and he said, and he found out that another boy in his yeshiva, so they have like a common connection. They both knew the winners, they know someone, whatever it is. So my wife says to him, oh, so you told him you had about this connection? He said, no. So what are you from, New York? What's wrong with you? What do I need to tell him for, you know? So that has to do with how we view ourselves, how we carry ourselves. Who am I and what can I do to help another person? If we carry ourselves in a way where we view ourselves, let's remember one of my Shabbat Shiva drashas years ago was I gave everybody smicha. You remember this? I said, you're all now Rebbeim. Because a Rav knows that when he goes, it makes a difference. I make a difference. I can do this to him, to her. Blah, blah, blah.
I think the food is very different, though. It's not what you can do with them, which is wanting or not wanting to make that personal connection. Right, the question.
Yes, of course.
In sales, right, the first thing that I always try to do is how do we get a connection, right? And there's lots of ways of doing it. And personally, I always find trying to make a joke, getting the person to laugh, right? It's something in which you can share something common, self-deprecating, whatever it may be, to be able to pull it together.
ABC.
Whatever it takes. There's different.
But what I would say is that you have a goal. Your goal is that you want to be able to create that relationship because you want to make money. You want to be able to make a deal, ultimately. So there has to be a reason. Now, let's say a person feels that way, but he lacks self-confidence. He's going to have a very hard time making the joke.
Find a different career.
Yeah, yeah, he'll have to find a different career. So what I'm trying to say is that the self-confidence that we should have is Kadosh LaHashem. Because the Yetzer Hara is always going to come to us and say, I mean, your davening doesn't make that much of a difference.
But reaching out and making that connection, yeah. And the example you gave, right. I'm not sure it fits into that same category.
Because let's say that you view yourself as a person that helps others, that brings others up.
Making that connection and bringing them up.
Yeah, it makes people feel so good to be recognized, even just to say hi to a person. There's so much for them. But I'm not that type of person. That's not my role. I'm a guy. Other people say that to me. No, view yourself as Kadosh LaHashem. You're a person that can lift people up everywhere you go. Not me, not me, not me. So he needs a stamp on his forehead. Kadosh LaHashem. If a person views himself as Kadosh LaHashem, znus is not happening. It only happens if a person thinks, oh, I'm that type of person that lends myself to that. But if I'm not that type of person, that's not how I define myself. So then he can't go there. So that's one element that's so important, is to define ourselves in a way where we don't let the Yetzer Hara define us. We have to define our Yetzer Hara. That's the third element. That's the third element. So the second element is the Techeles. The Techeles means we have to see things in the right way. So I'm going to share a Chiddush with you. This is also Kli Yagner. I'm just going to, it's underlined here, but I'll just say it outside. He says that the Me'il, The me'il is there to atone for lashon hara, right? Remember we saw that. So he says, how does it atone for lashon hara? It was a meal. The meal is one that was all techelos. Yeah, the long is all techelos. How does it atone for lashon hara? So you know what he says? Because techelos is all about boundaries. Sorry, boundaries. He says because what's it supposed to remind you of?
The water.
The water. How does water work? Boundaries. It stays here. It doesn't go there. And then it reminds you of the sky. Where is the sky? Maybe more, but that's his focus. So he says it's all about separation. Boundaries. Boundaries, boundaries. You don't go there. Don't go there. So the Pesil Techeles, don't go there. Lo Sasuru, Achrit Avavim, don't go there. Where are your boundaries? Know your boundaries. What are you looking that you're supposed to get? So that's the Pesil Techeles' role. No, so two things so far. There's the self-perception, how one's viewing Kadosh Hashem. And then there's how to look at other things. Remember, there are boundaries. Don't go there. That's boundaries. How to see things in the right way. And the third one is humility. So if you take these so far seriously, so what it means is that I'm a very special person. And I know my boundaries. I know where I'm supposed to go. I'm very special. I hate to say it, but especially Bizman Azed, with things that have been going on recently in the world, the next step is arrogance. Arrogance.
It's already there.
What's going on in the world?
I say hello to you. I can push you around. I can tell you what to do, and I can tell you where you should be, and then I'll run the show, and I'll tell you what znus. People that write children's books, you know. So you could argue that that's narcissism, and that really is a mental disability, which probably is true. But nonetheless, it's a danger of a person that puts himself into that situation. There has to be a sense of humility. And the focus here is the humility against the znus.
Usually that's dira.
Why?
Znus is only with your down here. And then you.
It's two types, right?
The znus is up there.
Yeah. Well, because it's... Wait, I don't know. It's the nichnasayim versus the tzitz. But it's two types. There's one where the Yetzirah says to a person, like, you know, you're a nobody. So, like, why shouldn't you do that? But there's another one where the Yetzirah says, just look at who you are. You can tell them what to do. You can tell them where to go, where to be, and what to do. You know what's in their best interest. Yeah, it's... But if you, yeah, whatever. I don't think we need to spell it any clearer. That's what happened. That's what these people do. So that's the three elements of znus. I think that's what he's saying. So you have the label, you have the Kaddish LaHashem, that's the self-understanding who a person is. You have the Psil Techeles, which is how to see things, understand boundaries. And then you have the sense that don't get caught up with who you are. You have to make sure that you have a nivus, and that's going to, these are the three things that protect us. So summarize, let's see what we did. So we started off talking about the begadim. And so the Kliyakar says that the yesod of all of these things is that they atone. And that's a very important way to look at it, is how they atone for things. And we saw that there are two begadim that are actually missing from the list. And he says they're hinted to by Kiddusha. Because Kiddusha of the Mechnasayim and the Kiddusha of the Tzitz. And that you have the Tzitz, you have the Psal Tcheles, and you have the Mitznevas. And Rashi, Kedarko, works it out with the Pshat. And comes along Kliyakar and says, well, what's that all about? And he says, these are all three elements that speak to the same thing. And those are the elements that we described, the tzitz itself, the self-awareness, and the psil techeles, and the boundaries, and the idea of making sure that when you have all of that, you also don't get caught up in gaiva, and you keep yourself humble.